Father, we bring before you our hearts, Lord. You know everything about us. Those of us who are your daughters already, Lord, you died for our past, present, even our future sins, and we are so grateful, Lord. And like Jocelyn prayed, Lord, sometimes we forget and we just kind of take you and all that you have for us for granted. We fail to see our sin as ever before our eyes, and we continually fall back into those same sins that we've asked for forgiveness over and over again, Lord. So this morning, if any have come here as believers, and there's a little distance between you and them, Lord, they need us. They need you to fix that for us, Lord. And so, Father, for those who are ready, willing, and able to say, I'm really sorry, Lord. Please forgive me. Thank you that you say, sure. For those who are not your daughters yet, we thank you, Lord, that you have drawn them here. You love them so very much that you've continued to knock on the door of their hearts, whisper in their ear, I see you, I love you, I want you to be mine. I pray that today is that day that they say, I know, I surrender, I'm yours. Make that be today, Lord. And then come back and get us all. In Jesus' name, amen. You might be the last one. I always say that, but it's true. Oh, I am so ready to be out of this world. So, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It's just our minds and our bodies that sometimes it's not so well with. And so, 2 Thessalonians 3:16 says, now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all. And on your tables, there's these little lantern things, and the scripture is on there to remind you throughout this day. Well, over the summer, which was just a couple of months ago, Ron and I were laughing because we went to a restaurant over there, and I was like, oh, to this lady, how long you been working here? You were here the last time. You were here the last time we were here. And then I thought about it. I was like, that was like 2 months ago. Well, over the summer, the Lord and I were having this discussion because some things were going on. And in Psalm 51:12, it says, restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous hand. Your generous spirit. Well, you know, when our focus begins to drift away from the Lord and all the trials and the tribulations of our world come in, we lose focus. Don't we kind of lose focus? We see most of the problems and our pain, and we lose Jesus. He's like this little, and the problems are really big. And so I know my focus had begun to beyond the heartaches and the pain. You know, there's so many of you that are struggling with health issues, and I can't fix that, you know? And none of us can fix that in another person's life. But all those things had begun to kind of weigh me down instead of me taking the things to the Lord. And you know what? As Christians, we're not always going to be happy. We don't walk around going, oh, praise the Lord, you know, all the time. No, there's real hard things that happen in our lives. And but I was feeling kind of bad one day because at the gym, you know, we go to the gym over here, and Jocelyn says, Mom, are you okay? I was like, yeah. She said, well, you look sad. Well, I don't want to look sad. I don't want to walk around like my feet hurt, you know? But there are sometimes there's just some sad things going on. But I want the light of Christ to still have me kind of floating on all of this. Even though I can't fix anything, that burden, I don't want that to rob me of my joy. I still want to, you know, when this life is over, I'm going to be with Jesus. And when your life is over as a Christian, and I'm going to say that several times because a lot of people think, even as a non-believer, when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. No, you're not. As a believer, when you die, you get to go to heaven. As an unbeliever, when you die, you get to go, like my granddaughter said, to the other place. So, Grandma, Yana's a Christian, but I'm not. So she's going to heaven, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so does that mean I'm going to the other place? Yes, baby, it does. So if I can say that to my, I think at the time she was 10-year-old granddaughter, you're grown women. You've had a lot of opportunities to hear the Lord knocking on your heart to say, come to you. So, but for a while, that was really starting to wear me down too. Oh, Lord, I want them in heaven. What can I say? What can I do? You know, I know you guys go through the same thing. You have family members that they just keep going the wrong way over and over, year after year after year. And it's like, what can I say? What can I do? And you just wear yourself out. That's where I had been. And the Lord said, that burden is not yours to carry. It is not yours to carry. You can't, because if I could fix it and get them saved, I'm God. And my head would be this big. I got this. I got this one. So he's like, take that burden off because it's not yours to carry. And so I pray that I can encourage some of you in here today. It is not about what you say or what you do. It's about who you're with. Ron's favorite thing in the story that we're going to be talking about is, and you know Pastor Ron, you guys, somebody, is anybody like an inventor or, you know, where you can get it copyrighted in here? Because I'm going to do the bracelet thing. JBWJ. Just be with Jesus. Now, if anybody out there in TV land, don't steal my idea. I got a witness. But, you know, it is, but it's only well with our soul when we remember to look to the one who knows all things, the one who can heal if he chooses to, the one who calls and corrects those who will listen, the one who will provide all our needs according to his riches and glory, the one who gives chance after chance after chance to receive his salvation. So we can walk away from those who just continually go the wrong way and say, you're accountable. You're accountable. Without taking the burden of, I gotta get them saved. If I do one more thing, or if I would have said it this way, or if I would have done it this way, if I would have put the fork on the right side of the plate, maybe. We get that stupid carried away trying to get people saved. And that burden is not ours to carry. For you and me, because a lot of times as a Christian, you don't see yourself changing that much. That isn't even your job. I hope that burden that I was carrying is kind of gone, because the one who began the good work in every one of his children, it's his job to complete it. Now, it can be easy and it can be hard, but it's going to get done. It's his job to do it. It's by grace that all of us have been saved, those of us who are Christians. It's by grace through faith in the one. I mean, we all know Jesus was a real person. I'm talking to the non-believers too. Jesus was a real person. They killed him. Innocent man, they killed him. He didn't stay dead, and he rose again. That's why everybody wants to go to heaven. Nobody wants to go to hell, really. Really. They don't. But it's only by grace. I just believe that. Pastor Ron, he can detail how and why. Me, I just know. I'm simple. I can't tell you all the what's in the history and all this stuff. I just know that Jesus was a real person. You don't have to show me in a book. It's just something that God gave me because it needed to be easy for me. If I had to turn around and explain it to everybody, y'all would not get saved. But that's not my job anyway. I'm just supposed to do what I'm supposed to do, and it's okay. Same with you. I love the fact that I can take that burden off. And the people that argue with me you know, or try to argue with me, because I used to try to win an argument, you know, because I knew something. If I know one thing, you gonna know I know. Are you kind of like that? A lot of you laugh, so it must be. But it's by faith in him. He's the one that even gave us the faith to believe. And those of you non-believers that keep coming back in here, you know it's true. That's why you keep showing up. And you're hoping that it changes so that he'll let you live the way you want to live. But I think it's Hebrews 13:7 or somewhere like that, 13:8 maybe. Somebody look that up, make sure I'm saying the right thing. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's never going to change to suit our needs. You got to change to suit his. If you want to go to his house, you have to abide by his rules. And he said, you must be born again. And so when I remember to set my thoughts on things above or Christ, I keep doing this because I feel light. Remember to set your thoughts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of the majesty. It's then we can say, oh, it is well with my soul. All the person I got to worry about in this world is me. Not that it's all about me, but kind of it is. It's just me and Jesus. And Ron's favorite thing in what we're going to talk about, touching Jesus. On August 31st, to my sister Jocelyn, she asked me about, you know, Mama, you look tired, you look sad. What's wrong? On August 31st, I got one of the greatest compliments because I started praying, Lord, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to carry that burden. It's not mine anyway. He says, okay. Well, on August 31st, I got a really good compliment for the Lord. You know how we pray and then we think, does he hear me kind of thing? Because a lot of times we pray and things don't change. Well, one night, August 31st, Paula, with all the heartache, sickness, and death around, how do you stay so cheery? I was like, what? You remember? And I said, I've given that burden to the Lord. He says, cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. I can't fix it, change it. I don't know the outcome of what it is, you know. We pray, Lord, heal her and, you know, keep her around, save the baby, all those things. Save her husband, save her kids, bring them back, all that stuff. And it just was going. And now that there's texting, I think Pastor Ron is right. We are not built to carry everybody's stuff. And so while we were on vacation, he said, Paula, don't bring the phone into the bedroom. Because I use it as, now that our clock thing broke, so I pushed the thing in the middle of the night. What time is it? What time is it? You know, at this age, you get up a couple times in the night. What time is it? But there's times when I can still hear the, even though I have it on silent, go, zzz, zzz. Paula, your phone. I was like, I know. But most of the time I'll wake up and I'll look. And he said, he asked me on this vacation, stop bringing your phone into the bedroom. Yes, sir. That's how I'm able to stay so cheery. John 14:27, and we are going to get to Mark 5 in a minute. Says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. It's a choice, and we get to do that. I'm not going to let my heart be troubled. Lord, it's trouble, but it's not my trouble. I can't fix it, only you can. So here you go. Here you go. The Lord is watching, he's waiting, he's working always. Mark 5. I didn't even see what time I started. I think I'm supposed to be done by 11:30. What's the schedule say? What's it say? What's the next thing on this, on that green paper on your thing? 11:45 is what? Look out. Oh. I got 45 minutes more. What? No, I got plenty. Sometimes I have to get the thing. starting at verse 25. It says, "Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, 'If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well.' Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' But his disciples said to him, 'You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, "Who touched me?" And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction.'" Well, please, Lord, help us to hear what you have to say to us today. This woman with this issue of blood, it says in other translations, for 12 years had suffered many things. And in other translations, it says, at the hand of many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. For 12 years, she had been getting advice and counsel from other doctors and probably her friends, you know, "Try this. Try that." And this one doctor would say, "Well, you know, they're just practicing medicine. Well, maybe this is what it is, or maybe that's what it is." Well, in the Christian world, we run to anybody who seems like they're smarter than us. And we'll take even spiritual advice from people that we should not be listening to. Proverbs 11, you know, 14 says, there's wisdom in many counselors, but only if they're wise counselors, and only if they're using the counseling book called God's Holy Word. You know, we can hear all kinds of false things and we believe it. I mean, I remember believing that if I named it and believed it enough, it would happen. Only thing that happened was my disappointment. So if you are stuck, you need to get, this is the true word of God. This is the only word, the only book, the only truth. And we've been hearing that over and over again from Pastor Ron. Well, this lady with this issue of blood for 12 years, she's unclean, no ability to be in fellowship. I mean, if any of you are in here, you're unclean, you get to still come in. Because God has invited you in, and he wants to take you into his family. But this lady, no way, no ability to be in fellowship. She's weak, she's sick and tired, and she's sick and tired of being sick and tired. You know, she is totally without hope. I wonder if she could hear Matthew 11:28. "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Because she's been suffering from many, many physicians, spent all that she had. You know, I'm sure at the beginning she's got money. She goes, "I'll just run over to this doctor. He can fix me. I can pay for that surgery. No problem." Gets worse and worse and worse. You know, "I can live this way. No problem. I can hang out with her. I can hang out with him. I'm okay." I wonder if even maybe her doctors said something like this that I've heard before. Have you heard this before? "It's all in your head." "No, I heard right here." No, it's not all in my head at all. And they would just say, you know, I don't know, we've done all we can do, I don't know. She's poor, she's now hopeless, and still sick. Verse 27, when she heard about Jesus. When she heard about Jesus, she had heard that he commands even the unclean spirits and they obey him. I don't know if she heard this, but this is true because the word says it. I don't know if she heard it, but he had healed Simon's wife's mother of fever, that all who were sick and demon-possessed were brought to him, and he healed many of the sick from various diseases, cast out demons, healed a leper. That was huge. Remember the paralytic who was brought in by his four friends to the, you know? And then that guy is like, what do you want from me? Excuse me, I want to walk. Go ahead, your sins are forgiven you. So he rose up, took his bed, and walked among the people. Mark 2:16-17 says, and when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eating with tax collectors and sinners, that's y'all. We're sitting here eating with you sinners, all of y'all sinners, saved or unsaved, you're all sinners, me too. They said to his disciples, how is it that he eats and drinks with tax collectors and sinners? When Jesus heard it, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You can't hear Jesus calling you, nor will you acknowledge it if you did, as long as you think you're okay. As long as you, I'm okay. I don't need Jesus. I'm good. I've lived this far without him. Big deal. No problem. I'll just continue living my life the way I live it, and because I don't want anybody to be the boss of me but me. Ron says it all the time. People do not want to come to the Lord and give up rights to their lives because they want to continue in their sin. That's the only reason people don't become Christians. They want to keep sinning. That was my reason. Might as well be honest with you, and you might as well be honest with yourself. And you won't grow in your faith as a Christian if you're still holding on to something. Maybe that thing. Maybe it's bitterness because whatever. Maybe it's unforgiveness because whoever. Those are the little sins, we think. So if you're not willing to confess that you are, Revelation 3:17 says this, because you say, I have become wealthy, I have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. If you can't confess that you are wretched, poor, miserable, blind, and naked, you don't need Jesus. That's the attitude. You don't need him, nor do you want him. But this lady said, no. She came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. This woman was desperate. We all need to see ourselves as desperate. I'm sitting over there, and you girls are singing. And it's fun to come over here. And the Spirit of the Lord hit me and said, they need to hear from me, Paula. Not you. They need to hear from me. Some of you, like Jocelyn Parade, came in here with some heavy, heavy things. And you don't need me to be funny. You need me to tell you God's word. We're going to have fun. But the only way you can have fun is to be in the family of God and to be walking rightly with him. But she says, if only I may touch his clothes. This is, like I was saying earlier, this is Ron's favorite part of this whole study. We come here wanting Jesus to touch us, to fix us, to fix our husband, fix our kids, fix our boss, fix our job, fix our finances. But the Lord says, no, come and touch me. Come and touch me. He wanted to touch her, but she had to come to him and touch him. Every day we should, ladies, be about touching Jesus. That's the only way. Desperation makes you take bold chances. You got to see that you're in desperate need every day of the Lord. He needs to lead you, guide you, be with you, make sure you say, think, and do the right things so that you'll know that he's with you and others will know as well. If only I may touch his clothes. So she's thinking, so why not me? He's healed all these other people. Why not me? And what did she have to lose? What do you have to lose? You know, people don't come to the altar too. And Ron called the men out the other day. That was like, wow, you know, because if the men in our lives change, then everything changes. But you cannot, I cannot wait for the men in our lives to change, because we use that as an excuse. Oh, if my husband gets saved, then I'll be all right. If he'll serve at church, then I'll serve at church. If he goes to church, I'll go to church. Some of you don't even come to church because your unbelieving husband is at home, and you got to be sure to watch what he's doing. Or, yeah, some of you laugh because I know that's true. Or some of you are so afraid that if you go to church, when you come home, he may not be there. You know you'll be all right. If you're a believer, you will be okay. They said he could have been stoned for being in that crowd, touching anyone, let alone Jesus. She couldn't heal herself, though, and no one else could either. Here is a key question. She says, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Question, do you want to be well? Really? Do you want to be well? Because we can use all of our emotional stuff to stay stuck and control everybody around us that we've been doing for a long time. Ooh, mama's not happy. Ooh, mama's in a bad mood. Ooh, mama's this. Ooh, mama's that. The Lord says, will you be made well? We want to be made well physically all the time. I want nothing wrong. I don't even want a hangnail. I want nothing wrong. I broke a fingernail while I was on vacation. Upset me. It's all crooked now. I just throw that in there. Make sure you're paying attention. But it is true. I didn't lie. But sometimes we don't want to be made mentally, emotionally well at all, because it's worked for us. Some of you are nodding your heads. Some of you are leaning back. Because you know I'm telling you the truth right now, because God wants you to hear this. He wants you to be made well. Stop using all of your excuses. I got my own. He's talking to me too. Stop using your excuses of why you are the way you are, and you've been that way for way too long. Way too long. So she touches him. And immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. Immediately. It's not a process. You can be healed right now. Right now, even before we have communion. Wouldn't that be an awesome communion? One as a believer and one as one saying, Lord, I'm done with being who I am. Take this thing and make something beautiful. You can do it today. She knew in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? Jesus knows if you're sincere. He knows why you're here. He knows everything. There's no hiding from him, you know? And that's a good thing, and sometimes a scary thing, but it's a great thing, because you can be open and honest with him. Lord, you know, like David, my sin is ever before your eyes. But he knows that power had gone out, Ron says, and virtue had gone out. That's a cool word. He knows. But his disciples said to him, excuse me, pardon me, Jesus, sir, you who know everything. You see the multitude thronging you and you say, who touched me? Who touched me? This is my favorite line. And he looked around to see who had done this thing. He looks around. He looks right into our hearts. He's looking at you. He knows you're here. He's so happy you're here. Whatever the motive, He's happy you're here. And he's just looking into your eyes because he loves you so much and he wants so much better for you than you want for yourself. So much better. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. Isn't that how it should be? Lord, you know me. I am such a wretch. You know me and you want me anyway. And so she tells the whole truth. Yes, I have been unclean. This blood thing for 12 years, I've been holding on to this anger and bitterness now, and I've been just sick and stuff, but I heard about you. I know I don't deserve you to touch me or to forgive me or to let me even, you know, this lady was at a point where even if she didn't live now, she had touched Jesus and it's well with her soul. Her body may not have even reacted rightly, but we know it did. For some of us, we're not going to be healed on this earth. We're not going to be healed on this earth. We're going to be with Jesus. And so as we touch him, and I appreciate watching my sister Cindy, she's just, you're a good, good father. You know, she got the gloves and the thing on and stage four, and we don't know how long we have with our precious girl, and yet you're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you, and she knows it. Sometimes we have to go through hard stuff before we really know it. I don't want to have to go through hard stuff before I really know it. I know it now. But we're all going to go through hard stuff, so we really need to know it. Hope you know that. She comes and tells him the whole truth, and he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. She took a huge risk. No pride, no fear, no nothing. She just said, I am going in. I'm going to touch Jesus, and I know that I will be made well. Got to touch Jesus. Got to touch him. Daughter, your faith has made you well. Then he says, she says, because she's better. She said, I know the blood thing, it healed up, and I'm going to be okay. I know it. And so he says to her, go in peace. She could stand up. Not fearing judgment from the people, not fearing rocks hitting her in the head to stone her for being in that crowd. Here's the key part, girls. And be healed of your affliction. Now that you have been healed, act like it. Live new. It's no sense in coming in here and, okay, everything's okay, fine. And then we go outside. We go home, we go to work, we go to the gym, and we revert back to our old selves. The Lord says, no, 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 go in peace and be healed of your affliction. That's a choice. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is new, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. When you start being the old person, you got to remind yourself, no, 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 I'm not that one anymore. I'm new. We sang it. God is our victory, and he is here. God is our victory, and he is here. If we will take the time to touch him every day, we can know that we're not the same. We can know that we've been made new. We can live new. We can live in peace. Even in the midst of trials, we can take that burden off that doesn't belong to us. My unsaved kids. Those who say ugly, hurtful things on purpose. Because, you know, they're just saying that against the Lord. It's not me personal. They're just mad because I'm going to heaven and they're not. They're just mad because I'm a forgiven sinner and they're not. They're mad because I'm not going to revert back and tell them that their behavior is acceptable when it's not. I'm not going to hang out with the same old people and act the same way. Jesus sat with sinners and tax collectors, yeah. But he was Jesus. And he acted like it. He didn't do what they did. Let me go out to a bar with somebody. What am I going to do? Drink water? That's what you think. You know, I'm going to go over here and witness. pretty soon that water, I have a friend, and she says, yeah, it looked just like water, but it was gin. A Christian. She sings a song about it. That I thought I could fool the people. And she did. But Lord, you saw it all the time. And she sings a song that says, it was like hammering the nails in again. And Lord, how can you love me when I can't even promise you that I won't do the same thing again? He says, but daughter, I want you to go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Be healed. You can choose. And when you feel that coming back, no. If anyone's in Christ, she's a new creation. Old things pass away. You know, this lady could have chickened out. She could have been afraid of what others might think. Too afraid to go in. Doubting. You have doubts that you can be changed? You have doubts that you can be changed? I seem to be the same old person. That's okay. The Apostle Paul did too. He said, the thing I want to do, I don't do. The thing I don't want to do, there I am. Just stop it and start again. Just because you fall once doesn't mean that you won't fall twice or three times. But get up every time and go back. Touch Jesus. He's waiting there for you to touch him. Touch him. He loves you so well, so much, and he wants it to be well with your soul. As a believer, you gotta know he loves you so much. And he wants to use you to show other people how much he loves them. This consistent thing that Pastor Ron has always been, he just doesn't change, you know. I've tried. He just stays steady. I'm so happy about that. You should, as a Christian, be happy that God never changes either. If we could change his mind from our little emotional whims, what kind of God is that? When our family members try to manipulate us with their emotional whims, or we are the emotional whimmers, quit it. Quit it. If it's been all about you, I think I probably say this so much. I think I say this every time I teach. If you're the woman that is the emotional temperature in your house, and that's not good, it has to be all about you and what you need and want and all that kind of mess, quit it. And if you have a person in your family that is like that, you can quit that too. You can quit that too. You can just say, you know, I don't have time for this right now. You don't have to say it with, you just kind of walk away. Touch Jesus and y'all just, and pray for that person, because you got to come back to him usually. I don't know, sometimes it can be hard being a Christian woman, you know, because we have a lot of jobs, but you can't fix them. You don't know the outcome of the situation. The only person you can change is you. So you touch Jesus. And when the ugly words come, this happens. He kind of like puts his fingers in your ears, and he covers your heart, and sometimes he covers your mouth, so you don't respond. I'm just talking about me, I guess. But he says to you, daughter, your faith has made you well. Has it? Are you well? And I sometimes people think they're Christians when they really aren't, because they just go to church. They serve, but they're not really saved. I'm not taking that for granted ever again. I've had people getting saved who thought they were saved for 10, 15, 20 years. Not because of anything I said, other than just gave them an opportunity to say, are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure? Are you different? Do you know? Because if you have doubts about your salvation, you might not be saved. Now, we have doubts, but if you really have been doubting your salvation, maybe you're not. You can get resaved again. But if you're not saved, you know it. You know it. Nope, I don't have anything to do with Jesus. I just came for the free lunch. I just came because she asked me 14 times, and she asked me one more time. Mm-hmm. I came because I didn't even have to pay. And a free lunch. And I can look like I belong. Don't look like you can belong because Jesus sees everything. You got to belong or you don't. You do or you don't. Touch him or just say, talk to the hand. It's your choice, and the burden is not on me because I already told you. Father, we thank you so much.